And now for something purposely positive.
And welcome to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast. Brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. This is Tony Wexler, your host, and on this podcast, we talk about positive issues to bring positive content into the world.
When facing a difficult situation, it's easy to get caught up in the negative emotions and the thoughts associated with it. However, shifting our perspective can help us see the bigger picture and find new solutions. Our perspective allows us to see beyond our immediate circumstances and challenges, and that is powerful. On today's episode, my amazing friend Rayanne and I are going to discuss the power of perspective. Rayanne, welcome to the podcast today.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
This is going to be an exciting topic, Rayanne. I'm really enthusiastic to talk about it because perspective is everything, the way you look at something. Why don't we start out? Tell us a little bit about you and how you got into what you do in coaching and how perspective helped you along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. So I am a holistic business coach. I'm a mother of three children under the age of six. I have a very busy business. I have two dogs and a family. So I have lots of opportunity to explore purpose and perspective. I started my career as a mental health therapist, actually. And so the cognitive side, the mental side, the thoughts and the neurochemicals that are involved in thought, that was a real focus of my initial training, and working with people on shifting their perspective, shifting their experience was really where I started my career in mental health work. And that eventually evolved. There's obviously more to the story, but that evolved into me becoming a Reiki master and a holistic business coach. And really what it comes down to is that I believe that entrepreneurship is a brilliantly disguised opportunity to do personal development work. And that while we have the revenue, the masculine side of business, you know, the tactics, the strategies, the KPIs, the numbers, the goals that we want to accomplish in life, those are important and we want to pay attention to those. And I do help my clients as a strategist to work on their entrepreneur status on the masculine side of things. What I really understand is that it all comes down to the internal perspective and the internal work that needs to be done in order to achieve those external results. And so I really help the people that I serve now, entrepreneurs of all different kinds, to learn how to manage their internal world and their energy, which is all we really have control over anyway in life, in order to experience whatever situation is happening in their world and their business and their life and their parenting and anything that they're going through so that they can have those outer results that they seek. And so it's really the marriage of those two things, the internal, the external, the feminine, the masculine, the outside success and the inner success that come together holistically in an integrative fashion that allows people to be happy, healthy, and wealthy. And that's what I've committed my life to helping people do.
That is awesome. Now, I like how you took the masculine side of business and kind of combined it with the other side, because you realize that there are two sides of the coin. You know,
yes.
There's the, and I was just talking to a client recently because he is a very rational person. And in his business, he doesn't understand the people that are more on the emotional side. And
yeah,
it's so important for you to relate to both sides of the coin there. So I think that's great how you were able to come up with kind of a way to really help people in business, but also help them in their personal life. And I bet having that background in healing and Reiki and what you've done in the past really helps you in working with those clients.
Yes, absolutely. I really see over and over again that the business owners that I really work with have a high level of mission. They have a high level of purpose. And sometimes that comes with a high level of past or trauma or, you know, the shadow side of things that needs to be worked through as well. And so I don't do trauma work with my clients because I'm very protective of the mental health field. And that is a different kind of work, but I will at least assess for and support people as they're managing their traumas in conjunction with a mental health therapist to move through whatever they've been through so that they can actualize their potential. Yeah, it definitely, everything that I've learned in, you know, all the different fashions of my career have come into play when it comes to holistic business coaching, because, you know, you're just one human having lots of experiences. And so bringing it all together, of course, if you have something going on in your personal life, it's going to affect the outcome of your business. And of course, if your business is having some kind of circumstance, it's going to affect you personally. And so it doesn't make any sense to me and the people that I serve to compartmentalize these different parts of us and try to separate them out. It's really about bringing it all together and understanding that you are a whole human having lots of experiences.
Every day we have those experiences and learning how to process them and what, where we focus our energy. And that reminds me of a quote by one of my mentors, who I know is also one of yours. In fact, you're working with him in a book, Tony Robbins. And he's always said, where focus goes, energy flows. And I think that is a true indicator of perspective, because I believe there are three different categories that we see things in. Most people will look at the past, the present, or the future. And that's kind of where they live. Those people who live in the past, you've got people who either they had their glory years in the past. They think about, you know, when they were on the high school football team, or when they were the cheerleader, the popular girl at school, or the popular guy. And then they get older and they're longing for the past. Or you have those people that have those really difficult pasts and they're living in that because there's all these limiting beliefs that get in the way. So then we shift to people who live in the present. Now, people who live in the present are the people who tend to be the happiest because they spend a lot of time in gratitude. They know what's going on. They're more grounded. And then we have the future people. Now, I believe as an entrepreneur, we do have to spend time setting goals and looking toward the future, but we don't want to spend time in the future all the time, because if we're always wishing for better things in our life, but we're not taking the action at first. So that's really where perspective is. You've got your past, your present, and your future. And then there's also whether you live in a have or have not mentality. That's also your perspective. Are you someone who focuses on what they have and stays in gratitude, which tend to be the most happier, more productive people? Or are you always focusing on what you don't have and either trying to work hard to get that, which again, that's not a bad thing, but it's all perspective. And the last thing is things we can control and things we can't control. And I'm one of those people that I've really struggled with the things I cannot control, things like traffic. You get into a traffic jam and you're driving to work and you can't control it, but you're getting all upset and you're letting that ruin your day. So shifting that perspective and saying, you know what, I can't control this, but what I can control is what I'm doing. And maybe I'll put on a book or an audio book, or listen to a podcast, or do something so that I can learn something while I'm sitting in the traffic. And it changes the whole perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. You've said so much there. There's a whole lot of wisdom in everything that you said. I mean, let's start with the past, the present, and the future. You know, the work that I do, really, because I am a counselor, a Reiki master, and a business coach, is I tend to think about it as we're operating in all three time zones, but in a respectful way that doesn't get us stuck in any one particular time zone or the other. Because the past is what got us here. It affects us. We do have to pay attention to it. But if we live in the past, it's a recipe for depression. Yeah. Right? Or that longing that you're talking about, or that upset about what happened in the past. So we need to acknowledge that the past happened, but we don't need to let it define our future. And just like you said, we need to look at the future to schedule what we want to have happen, to use the laws of vibration and attraction to manifest what we want to have happen for us, to start to set the stage for the 5, the 10, the 20 year plan, the legacy that we want to have. But then we need to come back into the present moment too. And we get to feel all those things that we want to plan for in the future now, instead of waiting for them. And so we want to kind of tip our hat to the past, tip our hat to the future, and then bring all of that beautiful wisdom and all of that awesome magic into the present moment and feel it as if it's here now, because it is. And the only real time zone is the present time zone. And so really learning how to settle into that is so important, but it is informed by the past and the future is really how I help people.
Yeah, I like the word informed by, because we get our information from the past, our patterns. And life is really all about recognizing those patterns. We can take our past and say, okay, what did I do here? What did I do when I wasn't successful in this area? I did X, Y, and Z, so maybe I won't do it this time. And then we can look back and we can look at those things where we were successful, look at the pattern. What did we do? What pattern did we follow? And then learn to shift those patterns that work for us in the present so that we can work toward a better future.
That is shifting perspective. That is the power of perspective. Okay, this thing happened in the past. What are we going to do about it now? And how can we adjust the way that we're thinking, the things that we're feeling, and how we're behaving in response to that thing that actually did happen in the past? So it's not like we're trying to block out something that happened. It's we do have to take responsibility and ownership for that. We either did something or something happened to us. And then what do we do with that information moving forward? That's on us. That's in our control. The only thing in life that we actually have control over is which thoughts we choose to energize. And so everything else in our life is outside of our control. And so learning how to shift our perspective is so critically important, because again, the only thing in life we can actually attend to, that we can actually control, is whether we respond to this thought or that thought, whether we choose this perspective or that perspective, whether we lean into one way of thinking about something versus another way of thinking about something. Everything else is an illusion. You can't control the traffic. You can't control the weather. You can't control the market. Can't control the economy. You can't control anything, other people, the weather, nothing. And so learning how to take in that information and decide what we're going to do with it, that's where the power comes. That's where we can be empowered to move forward.
Yes, exactly. You know, I had an interesting thing happen with perspective a few months ago, and I was going to New York City in January. It was a short trip. I was going there for the anniversary of the Miracle on a Hudson. Remember that, the plane with Sully landing? I have a friend who was on that plane, and they were doing a presentation to honor the first responders for the 15th anniversary. So I wanted to be there to support that cause and that event. There was a big snowstorm here. Now, you and I, you're one of the guests that I have on, that I'm having on the podcast. We live in the same area. We're up in the Rochester, New York area. We're in upstate New York. I have people from all over the world on the show. But up here in Rochester, Buffalo, we get this thing called snow, and we get a lot of it. And that particular weekend, my plan was to leave on Sunday morning and take the train, the Amtrak, into New York City, which is a great way. I love traveling by train because I get to read, I get to relax. It's a good way to unwind. So my plan was to get on the train on Sunday morning and go into New York. Well, we had this huge snowstorm on Saturday. They even canceled the football game for the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo.
I know exactly which weekend you're talking about now.
They canceled it because ended up postponing it to the next day because there was so much snow that they couldn't even get into the stadium. Now, speaking of perspective, why don't these owners of the stadium build a stadium with a cover on it in this part of the world?
Don't get me started.
That would be a smart thing to do. But what happened was they canceled all the trains. So on Saturday, I get this text that says, the trains are canceled. And I'm like, how am I going to get to New York now? My first reaction was to freak out. And I think we all go through that, right? Oh, no, now what am I going to do? But then it's like, okay, I cannot control the snow. I can't control the weather. You know, I'm not a heat miser who can melt the snow from that popular cartoon that we grew up with at Christmas time. I can't do that, but I can control my reaction to it, and I can make another plan. So the plan was get in the car and drive. And I said, because the snow is supposed to come overnight into the Rochester area, I said, let me just go now. So we left on Saturday afternoon and drove, got the hotel for another night, and just dealt with it. Now, nothing that I could do about the snow, nothing I could do about the train, but the reaction that I had. And like I said, at first, my reaction was not very good, but then I kind of realized that. And I think that is all part of what we're going to talk about today, is maybe some key components and skills at learning how to shift perspective. And I tell that story because that's where I kind of want to transition into. Are there any good tools that we can have when we come up into a situation where we have to shift perspective that can help us to make that shift and make it more easily for us?
Yeah, that is one of my absolute passions, is to talk about this, because I believe that there are so many different tools out there, thousands, if not millions of tools that are available to people, except not all of them are going to fit everybody. And so there are lots of people out there who will say, like, this is the way you do it. Always. This always works. There's one way to do things. But I believe that one, variety is the spice of life. Two, different people need different things. And that three, part of the exercise of finding which tools work for you is exploring different tools to figure out which one works for you in particular. So I really love collecting different ways of doing this. I could talk about this for 3 days. I'm actually writing an entire book about this right now, where there's so many different tools that are available to help you move into a different way of being. The first one that comes to mind for me, though, because I like to present a lot to people and then like have them choose, like it's a buffet. Like, does this one work? No, thank you. I'll take the chicken instead. So you move through and figure out which one feels right for you. One thing that came up to me when you were sharing your story is, first of all, you know, knowing you a little bit, Tony, that you believe in this piece around, you know, it's not about toxic positivity. And we are human beings. And so we are going to have a human response to a situation that we don't prefer. And that does not make us wrong or bad. Part of what we don't want with toxic positivity is we don't want to assume that having a perceived negative, I'm using air quotes right now, it's podcast, you won't be able to see it, but that perceived negative response to something disappointing happening to us is not a problem. It's a reality. You're a human being. You're going to have human emotions as a result of a disappointment. If we don't feel some of those what could be perceived as negative responses or emotions, then we don't get to savor the beauty of the positive emotions, the excitement, the fulfillment, the other side of the coin, if you will. This isn't about shutting down real human emotions that will happen as a result of having a disappointing experience. You want to have those feelings and those emotions. You also just want to move through them. You know, when we move into the past tense, to go back to that analogy, when we get stuck is if we're replaying something that happened over and over again, and we're extending that experience of the human emotion into a distorted time frame, or an unnecessary response, or an overinflated response, or an unhealthy experience. And so we do want to feel the feelings and move in the effort to move through them. And then what we do is that piece that you were talking about, you had the freak out about the Amtrak being canceled. And then soon after, you decided, okay, here we are. What's the new plan? I call that the gap. There's the emotion. And then the gap between having the perceived negative feelings and then moving into the perceived positive options, feelings, thoughts, emotions, results, that is the gap that you want to work on closing. Yeah. And the more you practice these different tools to move from having the real human experiences to moving into a more productive set of feelings and thoughts and experiences, the better and happier your life will be. So now when something negative happens, if I really need to feel the feelings, I feel them. And then when I know that they're out of my body and I've processed them fully, then I get excited because I know that there's something on the other side of that. One of the most important ingredients for a healthy, happy, wealthy entrepreneur is to be able to see something happen and then to pivot. And to be able to say, okay, here we are, what's next? Because we want to be able to move through and close the gap between that experience happening and our positive, curious, imaginative, visionary brains turning back on. And if we keep living in the upset and the frustration, we're going to keep having negative reactions and experiences. And so those tools that close the gap between the natural human emotion that you're going to have as a result of a disappointment, and then moving into our higher self, some beautiful ones that I really like to use, the emotional freedom technique, which is tapping. I'm the crazy lady, Tony, who used to be frustrated in traffic, who's now tapping on specific acupressure points on her body and saying, I hope this person gets where they need to go if they're cutting me off in traffic, because I'm tapping these different parts of my body. And I don't care if anyone sees me, because I know it calms my central nervous system and gets me into my higher self much more rapidly. Another example of this is just frankly meditation. You did some beautiful deep breaths with me before we came onto the podcast today to calm our central nervous system in preparation for creating as much value for your audience. Those are some great examples, just deep breaths or meditation or using a tool like the ancient wisdom of emotional freedom technique to calm ourselves down. It turns off the emotional brain and helps us to get back into that thinking, that productive, that pivoting brain that allows us to be in alignment with our higher self and our goals.
Those are great examples, Rayanne. I like the idea. I can picture you sitting there tapping yourself in traffic. But, you know, that happens with emotions. When we get an emotion, a lot of times we try to squelch the emotion, which I think is a bad thing to do because that's not healthy for us. Feel the emotion, let it feel through. But here's what usually will happen. And this, again, has to do with the perspective is we sit there and say, well, now why am I feeling bad? Or why am I feeling upset? And then we start thinking about what's making us upset. And the more we think about it, the more we get upset and it becomes a cycle. That emotion keeps coming and coming back to us. We don't allow the emotion just to happen and feel it and go away. You know, the example would be if you are doing something maybe fearful, like climbing up on a ladder on the house or something. If you don't like heights, maybe you're up on a ladder and you look down and you realize how high you are, and then you have that fear. Well, if you start paying attention to what you're going to do and don't pay attention to the thing that you're fearing, then you're able to accomplish the task. But the more you look down, the more you focus on your fear, the worse it's going to get. So I think we have to learn, feel the emotion, but then don't dwell on it. And some of those things that you just talked about, those are great ways to get yourself out of dwelling in the emotion, to close that gap and to start focusing on, okay, this is going on. What do I have to do next? And moving forward in that direction.
Yeah, you referenced the work that I did with Tony Robbins and Jim Britt in the chapter that was released recently. What I discussed in that chapter, in that book, which is available for a free download, if anyone is interested, by the way, on my website, I talk about a framework that I use with my clients that I've developed over these many years in personal development that I call steer, clear, and anchor. And basically what happens in this framework is you're separating out steer is an acronym. S stands for situations, T stands for thoughts, then E is emotions, A is actions, and R is results. And what we do is we consciously make a decision to look at the facts in the situations and separate out the thoughts that are supporting us, that are empowering, that are useful, that are going to be in alignment with our higher self versus the thoughts that are not so useful, not so empowering, and maybe bringing us down. We do the same for the emotions. What are the empowering, useful, and productive emotions that will lead us higher into our higher self versus our not so useful emotions, our unproductive emotions? And then what are the ways we could respond through action that are productive versus not so productive? And then what are the results we're going to get if we choose to continue going down the road of the productive side of us versus the unproductive, the empowering versus the disempowering approach to emotions and actions and thoughts? And then we can really take power and our choices, which is the operative word here, is that there's always a choice. And no matter what circumstance we're in our life, we have a choice to decide which thoughts, emotions, and actions we're going to energize. Therefore, we have the choice what results we're going to have in our life. And then the added secret sauce here for this acronym is the clear and anchor, which is when we use those tools. Clear means which tools are you going to use to let go of the old, not so useful side of things? So are you going to engage in meditation? Are you going to use some other tool to help you move through the not so useful side of things versus anchoring in the positive, productive approach that you choose instead? And there's, again, thousands and thousands of ways to do that. So I explore this a little bit using an example of a beautiful story that was a real experience that went through with one of my clients as a way to help as many people to really learn how to sort through exactly what you're talking about and grasp the power of perspective so that they can step into that more powerful state for themselves.
Excellent. I really like that too. And it's all, again, in being able to choose what we focus on. And we get that choice. And a lot of us don't realize that we sit in those emotions, you know. And I love how you use acronyms, by the way, because I do the same thing, especially in teaching, because it helps people to remember. I talk about raising your GPA. And that's not the GPA that we're used to when we talk about going to school or grade point average. That's G is for goal. What's our goal? We have to know what we want. The P is for purpose. And the purpose is, why do we want that goal? And then the A is the action that we have to take. So when you raise your GPA, you know your goal, you know what you want, you know why you want it, because I think knowing why we want something is even more important than knowing that we want it. And
I
then,
agree.
Because that will take care of all the hows and all the whats and all those things in between if you really have a strong enough why. And then the last thing, of course, is the action. We have to take action. But as we're talking about action, there comes a point, and this has to do with perspective, when we're taking action and we continue to take action and it's not working. And we talk about not giving up, because that is something that the entrepreneurial mindset does. People like us don't give up on going after our goals. But there's a time that we have to shift, and there's a time that we have to maybe take a step back and try something new.
Yeah.
And I think knowing when to do that is huge. It's kind of like there's that story from Think and Grow Rich in Napoleon Hill about 3 feet from gold, and about how Darby was digging this mine for gold, and he stopped 3 feet from the gold and ended up losing out. And somebody else came in, and what they did is they did what Darby probably should have done, is hired an engineer to go and figure out why aren't they reaching the goal at gold. And they found out that, interesting that goal and gold are,
yeah,
are
I know.
Sound so similar, but that if they just shifted and started digging a little bit more, 3 feet in another direction, then that's where they would have found the gold. So learning how to act and to not stop and to not give up, because the first way to failure is to give up. But when do we actually shift and start going in another direction? Is there a formula, or is there a tool that you've used to help you figuring out that perspective?
Yeah, a version of perspective that is incredibly useful for what you're talking about is feedback. Feedback is so incredibly crucial. There's a quote, I don't know who originally said it, but there's a quote that says, good feedback is great. Bad feedback is good. No feedback is deadly. And so feedback comes in so many different formats, where if you receive the good feedback, yeah, we love good feedback. It feels good. It's good for our dopamine, serotonin, all the things that make us feel good about ourselves. And we can log that as a job well done. And we want to have good feedback. However, bad feedback is also good, because it tells us those areas of improvement. And so one of the things that you can be doing for yourself before you get to no feedback, which is deadly, is to start asking great questions about feedback. You know, for example, in my coaching calls, I maybe don't do this as often as I used to. And this is a good coaching opportunity for myself to get back to it a little bit more, but I still do it on almost every coaching call. And that is to ask my clients at the end of our call, something along the lines of, did you get the value you had intended from our time together today? Did you get what you needed from our time together today? Is there anything that we could have done differently to support you? Or something like a more qualitative rating scale on a scale from 1 to 100, 1 being no value at all and 100 being exceptional value, what would you rate our experience together today? And getting people to give you feedback in that moment to let you know how things are going, or if there's anything you can be doing differently. Because those magic, even the bad feedback, will tell you some ways that you can pivot. When you receive the bad feedback, you don't want to go into like, woe is me land. The entrepreneur wants to say, "Woo." Feedback, something I can do differently. And so that feedback becomes so good, so incredibly crucial, because it helps you to inform those pivots. I don't want to keep doing that thing again that this client said is not going to be useful. So let me do something about it now. Whenever I learn something that I'm doing that I could be doing differently, I get excited about it, because that's something that I can actually control and effectuate change in. So, you know, this applies to not just our client relationships as coaches, you and I, Tony. It also applies for relationships, sitting down and having conversations with your partners, with your loved ones, with your spouse, with your kids, to find out how things are going. or how a conversation went. Ask them if there's anything that could have been different about that. Ask them to share what worked and what didn't. You could ask your boss if you're in a more of a corporate setting. You can ask family, friends to give you feedback. Recently, when I was in the process of publishing, my publisher had me go to 5 very close friends and family and ask them, what are 5 of my strengths and what are 5 of my areas for growth? So getting that feedback so that you can capture, here are some things that I can keep leaning into because these are strengths, these are wins, these are things that are working. Let me do more of those because it's working. Versus, here are some areas that I could pay attention to that maybe need some shifting, because other people sometimes can see us more clearly than we can see ourselves, which is why coaching is so valuable. We say, you can't read the label from inside the bottle. You need someone to look at you and see you differently than you can see yourself. And that's, you know, having that coach see you so clearly, or having a family member tell you, here are some things that maybe you're doing that are getting in your way, it can be so incredibly useful.
Absolutely. I love that whole idea of it, because feedback, that is something that, whether it's positive or negative, and just like you said, no feedback is the worst, because then you don't know how you're doing. So always ask for that. You know, how did the session go? Or maybe you cooked dinner. Hey, what did you guys think? Did you like that particular? What could I do to make that better? And anything in life, you mentioned relationships. I think that's good. Maybe after you have a discussion, let's say you get into a heated discussion with your partner, and then you got to walk away. And well, when you want to come back to it, a lot of people have a difficult time going, well, we were angry at each other. Now, how are we going to, are we just going to apologize and move forward? Well, maybe you could ask a question. You know, we had a discussion a little while ago. Discussion is probably not a good word for that, but we had a discussion a little while ago.
We'll go with that.
How could we have made that a better discussion where we both would have been able to achieve our outcomes? And ask those questions. And I think asking questions is a huge part of gaining that power of perspective, being able to ask questions to those around us. The more questions you ask, and when I have conversations with people, most of my coaching sessions, and I'm sure yours are too, are filled with asking questions.
Yeah, because perspective is very much, sometimes it's tempting to think perspective is just internal. It's just something, our perspective. But really, the beauty of perspective is, yes, we want to manage our own internal perspective through thoughts, emotions, actions, meditations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we'd be missing such a rich part of what it means to be a human if we don't get perspective from the external environment as well. So perspective by eliciting feedback is an example of external perspective, but then also keeping company with lots of different types of people so that you don't only have one type of person giving you perspective. There's so many different perspectives in the world. And if you get yourself insulated in a box where you're only talking to people who have the same political views as you, social views as you, religious views as you, cultural, racial views as you, then you are limiting your perspective massively. And so opening your mind to different possibilities of other external perspectives, but then also, like, just quite on the masculine side of business and life, you know, also looking at the feedback from the market. You know, if you're a business owner and somebody continue and you are selling something and nobody buys it over and over and over again, that's perspective. Feedback, right? That's somebody, some entity, in this case, the economy and your target market, is giving you feedback by giving you no feedback. And so you asked, when do you know when to pivot? Well, if you're not getting the feedback by the virtue of a sale, then that is interesting information that you want to take into heart and maybe do something differently about it, and really get curious and ask yourself and your market those questions. What can I be doing differently right now? What am I missing here? Where is this a product that's not wanted at all? Am I messaging this differently? Those are questions to respond to the external perspective and feedback that the market is giving you by the absence of the sale.
Now, this happened a lot during the whole COVID pandemic, especially places like restaurants. And I'll give you the classic example is the restaurant who has always done a sit-down dining service, and That's what they've always done in the past. And whenever you say, well, we've always done it in the past, that's something where you have to stop and catch yourself and say, wait a minute, what can I do differently that can help me to improve what's going on now? So the restaurants that did really well, and they're not a sponsor, but I'll use Olive Garden because my son actually works for them. they shut down, or not completely, but they were letting their employees go because they weren't getting business coming in. And then someone said, wait a minute, why don't we do more takeout? So they came up with a great takeout special, if buy one, get one for takeout. And all of a sudden, they were busier than ever because they shifted their perspective. They used that power. They didn't rely on, we've always done it in the past. And one more quick story as we're winding this down a little bit is I had something that happened to me fairly recently. I was sitting home one evening and I got a knock on the door, and it was my neighbor. My neighbor came over. We have a chain link fence that's between our two yards. And apparently a bunny rabbit had gotten caught in the chain of the chain link fence. You know, the gap, it's like that little diamond from each link. It's pretty small. I mean, what is it, about maybe 2 inches by 2 inches at most. But somehow when these rabbits and bunnies are smaller, they can squeeze right through, no problem. And that's how they dart from yard to yard. They go through the little hole in the fence. So apparently her dog was chasing it and it got caught in the fence. Aww. And she got her dog away. So we ended up having to go outside and to try to figure out how we're going to get this rabbit unstuck. What happened was, long story short, is the rabbit eventually figured out that if he backed up and went back where his fear was, which he was afraid of this dog, into the yard he was in, then he could get out. But if he tried to move forward and tried to go and do what he's always done in the past and go through that fence, he was stuck because he had grown big enough that his little hips would not allow him to get through. So sometimes we have to stop and realize that maybe we have to step back a little bit. That may scare us because we may have to face our fear, but if we back up, we can get out of that situation. So it's just kind of a way that I took something that happened and found a deeper meaning in it.
Yeah, which is a version of perspective in and of itself, Tony. And just because I know you love acronyms, you know, fear is false evidence appearing real. That bunny thought the dog was still after him, but it was just false evidence that was appearing real. You guys were there just trying to help the little guy. And once he finally embraced his fear and realized that it was just false evidence, he was able to unstuck himself.
Exactly.
Such a good metaphor to be able to see those little juicy moments in life and learn from them. It's one of my favorite things.
Well, Ryan, you and I could probably sit and talk for like another hour on this topic at
easily.
Least. But I'm trying to be mindful of the listeners. So just a couple things before we close out. One is, anything else regarding perspective that we didn't talk about that you wanted to bring up?
I think we really covered the main points of it. Yeah, I just really encourage people that what I would hope that people would take away from our time together today is that perspective is empowering. It is this choice that you have has so much power behind it. And if you can really just take that power that you have in the choice and really learn how to hone it, learn how to get familiar with what it looks like to work within perspective, learn how to shift your perspective, learn how to shift your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions. I've seen it so many times that people are caught off guard just how amazing and just how powerful it really is to be able to learn how to work within the power of choice and within the power of perspective. And so I just encourage you, I hope you guys heard our message today and that you were able to really settle into this as a powerful opportunity for you and to find whatever tools that work for you to help you to learn how to hone in on that amazing, empowering experience.
That's awesome. Now, if people were interested in reaching out to you, Ryan, and finding out more about what you do, and also finding out more about your book, because I'm really excited to hear more about that.
Thank you.
How would they do that?
Yeah, well, I know that you'll be putting my website and my socials in the link, because my name is Rayanne Lacatina, and I am the only Rayanne Lacatina in the world, but it's also very difficult to spell. So go ahead and look at the show notes. My website is rayannelacatina.com, and you can find me most commonly on LinkedIn, but also on Instagram, both at Rayanne Lacatina, the hashtag Rayanne Lacatina, or the at Rayanne Lacatina at Instagram. So you can try your best to spell my name, or you can check in the show notes and see where Tony has directed you there. And right on my website, you'll be able to download that free ebook with Tony Robbins and get on the wait list for the book that's coming out in April.
Awesome. Well, I'm really looking forward to reading the book. I've read the downloadable chapter and a lot of great insight on this topic, actually, perspective. Which is kind of where I got the idea to do the podcast on perspective. But the last question that I ask all my guests is simply this: Rayanne, what does being purposely positive mean to you?
I love that. Purposefully is such an important word to me. The intentionality, first of all, it feels like the purpose is really about being intentional in the way that you direct your positivity. Really making, again, the choice intentionally to lean into positivity. But also just the word purpose is so important to me, because I know both you and I, Tony, are so connected to making an impact in the world. And so, you know, living into your purpose for positivity, for your higher mission, that's really what you and I are both all about, making sure that we can help as many people as possible have the happiest, healthiest, wealthiest lives possible. And so when you are intentionally on purpose, and when you're intentionally leading your purpose in a positive way to impact more people, that's where the magic happens.
Absolutely. And then it's super magic too. Really, purposely positive has a lot to do with the power of perspective. Rayanne, thanks for being on the show. And I'm looking forward to further discussions.
Me too, Tony. Thank you so much for having me.
And you've been listening to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast, brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. And you may be out there looking at your perspective and have what's called a wake-up call moment. I have a free resource at my website, TonyWCoaching.com. It's an ebook called Strive to Thrive, and it'll help you in the direction of a purposely positive life.